welcome to the Fort Brock's Crypto Podcast.
Crypto, crypto, crypto.
And just, you know, for listeners or viewers, I haven't seen Brandon. It hasn't been that long. It's only been a few days, but you were in Mexico on the Bachelor in Paradise set.
Yeah.
Damn. And you didn't get tan.
No, not at all. I tried to stay out of the sun as much as possible. I did spend one, like, day in the pool.
Uh-huh.
But, and then I got sunburned.
Well, I did see the bathtub shot that you showed me.
Yeah.
You won't ever share with me, but at least you showed it to me.
Yeah.
You beautiful.
Bubble bath, baby.
Bubble bath.
Bath salts. Not the crazy zombie type, but the other kind that you actually put in the bath.
Zombie type bath salt?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, you don't remember the bath salt craze of like 2015 or something?
No. I mean, I've been a fan of baths and salt. Epsom salt.
Well, it was basically just like a gas station drug that you'd buy, and it was like called bath salts, and then people would either smoke them or snort them, I don't know what, ingest them somehow. But then one guy ended up eating somebody's face in Florida. You don't remember this on the news at all?
I don't watch the news that often.
Okay.
Which is ironic. I know. I mean, yeah. I pay attention to crypto and stuff like that. But I don't watch the news.
Yeah, well, that happened.
Very often.
Yeah.
Although I did see...
So regular type of bath salts, but yeah.
Well, I remember at the gas stations, those little liquid scent tubes.
Yeah.
Look like little test tubes. I knew people back in the day who would pour them out and create crack pipes out of them. Remember?
Well, this is like basically like...
simple Bic lighter.
Bath station... gas station boner pills, but different. So,
I know what pills you're talking about. Yeah. Like, have you ever tried one?
Nope, don't need to, man.
Why would you? Strong, virile,
testosterone
filled man, such as yourself. You don't need that.
Nah, no way.
It's like that cliche. I mean, I know you're bald-er.
Yeah,
but they do say the more hair you lose, the more head you get.
Well, and definitely getting balder by the day.
By the day?
Yeah.
But you just got that little...
little tuft right here.
It looks so good, though.
Yeah. Maybe I should just, like, grow one dreadlock, you know, from here.
That would be interesting. For some reason, I think of Pan's Labyrinth when you said that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Most people, if you've ever seen, I think, Along Came Polly, or maybe it's a Heartbreak Kid.
One Both had two. Been stiller.
Yeah.
One was with Malin Ackerman. That was Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah.
And Michelle Moynihan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Along Came Polly was with Jennifer Aniston.
Well, I think it was Heartbreak Kid, his buddy who has a kid who's like telling him get out there. It might have been. Yeah, I think it was Heartbreak Kid. He grows out his front tuft. I don't know.
Oh, now I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty
now
funny.
Now I want to see, just to see that portion. I've seen that movie all of once, maybe.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
We digress. Let's get on the topic. This is an awesome episode. Best episode.
Probably ever,
right? Yeah. They usually are.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, we are carrying on with the crypto jargon slang, part two.
Part two.
Because even though I think we did 69 words, the first one.
Nice.
Which came out in, I want to say, March of this year. There's a lot of crypto jargon that we didn't cover.
Yep.
And there's even some that's become more relevant.
Yeah.
You know? So we're going to dive into that crypto jargon now. And we go in alphabetical order. And now with our new format, when you're on YouTube or timestamped within, let's say, Spotify or Google Podcasts, it'll have each one of the jargons timestamped or chaptered on YouTube, so where you can just go directly to it to make it easier for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're doing this in a way where it's just, you know, we're trying to remove pretension. Try not to be condescending.
Yeah.
Because even the word crypto bro, I mean, we're two dudes talking about crypto and we believe in it. But sometimes it has a negative connotation. But we'll get to that because that's actually in this round of crypto jargon.
Yeah, I'm no crypto simp, bro.
So before we get started, we do have our disclosures, right?
Yep.
And some transparent disclosures. We are owners in Fort Brock's, which is a crypto mining company. And even though the market has gone to shit, we're still doing it. And we're still profitable. So we have a different resource and value proposition that allows us to do that. But just so you know, that's what we do. We're also not lawyers, CPAs, brokers, or investment advisors. And so nothing we're talking about should be construed as such. And yeah, please do your own due diligence. And we're now out of the crosshairs of the SEC and anything else, because we're telling you, we're not giving you investment advice. We're just sharing our opinions and perceptions of things.
Yeah.
As it relates to crypto and Web3.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah. Are we doing this episode because wildflower.eth did a shout out to us on Twitter?
No, but oh,
okay. Well, shout out to her.
you lit up when you saw. You're like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah, it was a very nice thing she said.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So, in moving on, our first word, address.
Address.
Or Addy. Address, Addy.
Yeah.
You know, tell our listeners.
Send
viewers,
me those
what
deets.
Is it? Yeah, give me your address. What does that mean in the world of crypto?
Well, I mean, in crypto, you've got two types of addresses, your private and your public. So your public address, or sorry, keys, private, public key. Your public address is also known as your public key in most cryptos. So the address is a place where you send and receive crypto from in any one of your wallets.
For some reason, your lead into that was a little confusing.
Oh, okay.
So just to clarify, your address, you have an address where you send and receive. Two separate ones.
Yeah, sometimes. It depends what crypto. Like sometimes they have a public facing one. Sometimes they have a private address.
Oh, okay.
And then it changes like where you send and where you receive.
And to make
and
this
it'll give you a different one each time, actually.
Gotcha. So to make it super layman's too, each crypto, more often than not, has its own separate address. So let's say I'm sending you Raven, you're going to give me a Raven address, as opposed to if I was sending you Nano, you're going to give me a Nano address.
Yeah.
They are different.
And they usually start with different.
Even if it was in, let's say, Trust Wallet or Binance.
Yeah.
You're still going to have two different addresses. So you need to make sure that you're sending it to the correct address.
Yeah, your addresses are going to change every time you go from one wallet to another as well. So,
yeah, exactly.
And they'll be different. And sometimes you actually need another key, or it's like a memo, they call it, I think, for Ripple, when you're sending Ripple. So make sure you pay attention to that.
All right.
Like sometimes they'll have an added layer of protection.
Interesting. Well, I know on Binance, for instance, it checks and says, oh, this Raven or Nano or Atom address isn't valid.
Yeah, it's not currently being used by anybody. Yeah.
Or something, you know, to that extent. Or maybe you just sent the wrong thing, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever
you
the case may be.
You don't want to send the wrong thing.
You don't want to send the wrong thing. Yeah. But then there's the two-factor authentication, like in Binance.
Yep.
It pops, the way I have it set up on my phone, it pops up with the text code.
Yeah.
You enter that in, and then that says, okay, it'll process this withdrawal, let's say.
Yeah.
Like, let's say I'm sending you some crypto. But before I can withdraw fully, I still have to go back into my email and authorize it then, too.
Yeah.
So there's these several steps to making sure that it happens.
Yeah.
But when that's address.
When I was down in Mexico, I couldn't even open up Binance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so strange when you, like, travel places, and it's like, sorry, bud.
Well, that
you
happened with one of our card partners. They weren't receiving their drops, and we were looking at it. It was Trust Wallet.
Yeah.
And Trust Wallet, in my opinion, we've had a lot of just syncing issues for some reason. I don't know why. But anyways, the card partner was a lady. I was like, well, trying to diagnose it and help her. And then, you know, we searched Trust Wallet's knowledge base, and it showed that if you're in a different country, it may act differently. And she was in France at the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
France also wouldn't let me sign on with my Binance.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, it's kind of nice because you don't have to look at the market. But
if you wanted to buy, you're my gosh. And you're like,
you
I can't
find a good
buy.
Buying opportunity. You're like, no.
You're going to create a burner phone now that you just leave in the States.
Yeah.
I bet you want a burner phone in Singapore, because I would think almost anything would open up there.
Well, I mean, I could just remote desktop in somewhere.
See, you can do that too.
Yeah.
Not all, well, most of them have web portals now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking early days too. But anyways,
next one.
Next one. Not they're not all going to be this long.
No.
But seems the first one we always talk a little longer.
What is an air gap?
An air gap. Oh, let me tell you, and I'll give you the description or the definition that I've found as well. If data cannot be accessed, then it cannot be infected or corrupted. This is the concept of an air gap. Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's a good question. I mean, what does it mean?
Where did you hear it in context?
It's on CoinMarketCap, and I've heard it referenced in, you know, certain areas. I mean, let me see what it says. Within the IT industry, this is their description. Within the IT industry, this is typically implemented as a duplicate copy of production data on a secondary storage system, which is offline, and as such is not connected by any production or public networks. However, in practice, this extra data copy is protected from attacks alongside corruption as long as the gap is maintained. Companies will typically rely on this air gap data as a copy of the last resort. The air gap typically augments existing backups, recovery, and disaster recovery strategies with the intention of providing an added layer of protection. Interesting. However, alongside this, you also have the benefit of enabling rapid recovery in the case of a large attack.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I just read about another $100 million hack or something, so.
Damn.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about that anymore.
Yeah.
Is it?
So maybe
they because the market's shit too, so when you hear bad news,
mm-hmm.
it's just amplified right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It just seems to be all bad news.
It's not all bad news.
No, it's not at all.
That watch company, Hublot, I don't know how to say the damn name.
Hublot?
There we go.
Maybe.
You can now purchase their watches in crypto.
Wow.
See, so there's a bit of positive news. Bill Murray is coming out with his own NFT series.
All right.
1,000 of the NFTs, each one is going to, I don't know how many will be devoted to each. I would imagine 10, but he has 100 different stories that are tied to each one of the NFTs. That's also like a membership to a private Discord community and events that they're going to be having.
Bill Murray. Are you sure it's not Bill Murray's sons?
Well, he's the one.
He's the
champion in it, you know, he's leveraging dad's history.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
If my dad was Bill Murray, I'd figure out all kinds of ways to leverage that celebrity.
It'd be cool if he airdropped me one.
That's the next word. Oh, I love when you do that. You just find a way to make it smooth and
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah, I try.
So what is an airdrop?
An airdrop, according to the definition, is a method for distributing cryptocurrencies to many people at the same time. So what happens is in a good case, like every, what is that? Bored Ape,
yeah.
Every Bored Ape owner got airdropped ape coins.
That's
just
right.
For owning an ape.
Yeah, they themselves. Own NFT. That was one of the value proposition benefits of being a Bored Ape Yacht Club member.
Yeah, and a bad example is everybody that had
Luna.
Luna.
So we got an airdrop of some new Lunic.
Got Loon C or...
I like Lunic.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what an airdrop is.
Yeah.
So it's just a mess. I mean, because you can airdrop NFTs as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything.
It's basically just, I mean, the rest of it says new projects may airdrop or give away their tokens to raise awareness and interest. Some might require you to complete certain tasks, such as talking about the project on social media, before you send the token to your crypto wallet. So I remember when I bought, what's that one that we bought, Elon Goat?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
EGT.
We were doing that test one. Yeah. That Danielle was working on.
When I bought that, I got airdropped, I don't know, 3 or 4 different types of coins. I was like, what is going on here?
I did get some random shit popped
through.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's just nice to like get some free crypto. You're like,
yeah, even if it's not worth anything.
Yeah.
It always makes you smile.
Yeah. You're like, hey, what's up?
I know that we got a ton of those, scam coins?
Oh, yeah.
On our Raven wallet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of the first, like, Raven NFTs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they just are randomly sent out, whenever you...
I had quite a few.
Yeah.
That just landed in my wallet.
Well.
Whatever.
Somebody decided to airdrop them to you.
So, algo trading.
Yeah.
This next word that we're going through. It's an automated trading system where buy and sell orders are placed according to the rules of a computer program or algorithm.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, you can call it a bot as well.
Yeah, you can call it a bot.
KuCoin has an algo bot that you can...
A lot of the exchanges do, don't they?
Currently?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe like Binance regular, not US.
I don't have that much experience with them because I don't use them.
I've tried it on KuCoin. It's interesting.
Okay.
Just as like a way, because...
Maybe, I have used it. Never mind. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
I've used it on KuCoin.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Okay. You just go to the homepage, click on the bot. Yeah, and then...
I have.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. I don't know if...
If what?
I don't. I mean, I can't attest to how good or bad they work, but like you see some decent returns on them.
But now you know. That's what algo trading is.
Yeah.
But what about aping?
Aping. Oh, when you ape into something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes in from actually the not Bored Ape Yacht Club, like you would think, but it comes from Wall Street Bets. Comparing themselves to apes, dumb apes that just throw all their money into one thing.
So, that just launched, usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't do their homework. They didn't do their own research. They just were like, oh, this is the hot shit. I'm going to buy it.
Well, yeah.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah. Well, like...
That's the definitions I found about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically not doing any research and just throwing money at it.
Yeah.
You ape into it.
What's funny about that is ApeCoin, when they launched, had a substantial amount of aping going on.
Yeah, for sure.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I remember I was like, damn, I wish I would have been up right when it came because it shot up so much. But anyways, that's what aping is. It's not tied to Bored Ape Yacht Club.
No, it's
or
not.
Or ApeCoin.
No.
But it means you just don't do your damn research.
Yeah.
And you just throw money at it because you're like, damn, that's hot.
Yeah. The people at Wall Street Bets are really funny about that. So, and now it's like stonks. Or,
oh yeah,
yeah. If you're into lunatics on Reddit,
that's
a good place to go.
Okay,
it's pretty entertaining.
ASIC,
yeah,
because this comes up a lot, especially when you know related to mining, Bitcoin mining.
Yeah,
it's an acronym for application specific integrated circuit.
Yep,
it's a device designed for the sole purpose of mining cryptocurrencies.
Yeah,
so that's what ASIC is.
Yeah, I bet you could come up with ASICs for other things as well.
That would make sense.
Besides mining crypto, but currently, yeah, I mean, you've got, was it Bitmain, Antminer, and now Intel's releasing their own ASIC because like it's a chip specifically designed and it's supposed to cost like $1,000 compared to $5,000 for the same amount of return currently.
Ooh. But does it have the same shelf life?
Probably.
So that 3 years?
Like 2 years, 3 years.
I always hear three.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's ASIC resistant.
Yes.
And what is that?
Well, it's usually, I'll read the definition first. So the term usually applies to blockchains and mining algorithms designed to give no benefit for ASICs over consumer grade hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the way like Ravencoin is ASIC resistant or Ethereum actually is ASIC resistant is by making the blocks themselves, the block rewards, randomized.
Okay.
So whoever is working on the final part of the block usually gets the full reward.
Right.
Whereas like I think with Bitcoin mining and ASIC, like if you're working on the block together, you all get the block.
Yeah.
Together. I think, but
we don't do ASIC mining.
Yeah, but the randomization is why or how it basically.
Which is interesting about Ravencoin because Ravencoin is a fork on the Bitcoin blockchain.
Yeah.
Even though it's considered its own layer one.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. They made it specifically so that it's sort of an every man's coin.
Which is hopefully going to every person's coin. See?
Sorry.
You're leaning right into the crypto, bro, when you say shit like that. Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
I know, right? It's so funny. But how about this? Do you want to be a bag holder?
No.
And why not, Brandon?
Bag holder, somebody left holding the bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There was a lot of bag holders with Luna.
Yeah. And UST. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Would you even consider bag holders with Celsius?
No. I don't know. Celsius just is up 10% today, so maybe not. Mm-hmm. As of this recording. Somebody came and bailed him out, right?
I believe so. There was some news. I know it'll be on our other podcast, Crypto Vibes.
Yeah.
The news regarding, you know, people stepping up to help out.
Yeah.
It's interesting. DeFi right now is getting kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
I remember when we first started crypto mining and when we started allowing people to join our wait list, we got hit up by a DeFi company that was asking if they could promote to all of our card partners. And I asked about the notes being called due. And they said, well, you know, you can do a loan to value ratio of, let's say, you know, 80%. You know, you could do 50%, 30%. Yeah. And I go, okay, so what makes a note called due? And they said, well, if the value of the coin or the value of the crypto you're holding based upon what you borrowed against is more than what you're borrowing, we can call it due. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you're telling me that, let's just say, you know, we took out a loan, say we own 100 Bitcoin, and we took out 30 Bitcoin worth. But if the market goes to shit and it's worth less than the 30 that were valued at that time, you can call the note due?
And call all of your Bitcoin?
And call my Bitcoin. And they're like, yes. But how would that happen, you know? And I'm hearing their pitch about, no, that wouldn't happen, you know, because the market's mature, this and that. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to sell me because I'm a believer in crypto.
Yeah.
But those are shit terms.
Yeah.
Right?
And those are bad terms.
I'm not saying this is what happened with Celsius, but this is the value proposition and the fine print that happened with this one particular DeFi platform.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, we will not promote a product like that with that kind of note being called due.
No.
And in that situation today,
yeah,
if we had done that, even just ourselves, even if we didn't promote it
to
any of the card partners, but we actually borrowed against it,
yep,
they would have called our note due.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't consider that bag holding, but yeah.
No, I realized the tangent that I went on that one. But yeah. But that's what a bag holder is.
Yeah.
You know, a bag holder is someone who bought into a position at an elevated price and then saw it fall.
Yeah. I did that with Sun Edison, a stock.
Uh-huh.
Put a bunch of money into it, and then it went bankrupt, basically.
Sorry.
Left holding the bag on that one.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
But
I tried buying it basically for the dead cat bounce and then missed out.
You can't jump ahead on us. That you're jumping into C's. We're not done with B's yet.
No, I'm just saying.
Or D's, I should say.
I'm just saying with bag holder.
Oh, gotcha. Well, because we have dead cat bounce here coming up soon.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And then we have bear trap. And this is a good time for a bear trap.
Yeah.
Because we're in a bear market.
Yeah.
So what is a bear trap, Brandon?
It's the attempted manipulation of a specific cryptocurrency's price based on the coordinated activity of a group of traders. So like the attack on UST is a great example of that.
Okay.
Where they tried decoupling. Sorry if that's another...
we'll talk about coupling, decoupling. Okay. Yeah. But go ahead.
But yeah, so basically it was a coordinated attack to try and decouple it from its dollar price, basically.
Okay.
Depeg it from its dollar stablecoin price, and they were successful, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. So
there were some bear traps even when Luna was going down.
Yeah.
It could have been. Seems like.
Yeah, for sure.
So allegedly, right? We can say it that way without being caught in the crosshairs.
Well, I think also it refers to anything where you're basically buying on a downslope.
Yep.
Trying to wait for it to come up. Like I was saying with the bag holder.
Yeah.
Or the dead cat bounce, which we will get to.
Yeah.
But like if you're trying to hit that, that could be a bear trap because it could go even much lower, further than you think. So
yeah, but then they could profit in that short period of time.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I get it. But
crazy bears.
Next one, Bitcoin maximalists.
Yeah.
These are people that believe that Bitcoin is the true cryptocurrency and everything else is inferior. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Like everything's Bitcoin, nothing else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of valid in some ways.
Yeah, I mean,
I could understand that point of view.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's made a lot of people rich.
I mean, if Bitcoin goes up, the market goes up.
Yeah.
Bitcoin goes down, the market goes down. Traditionally, very few coins don't fluctuate as heavily with the swings of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But Bitcoin right now is kind of that bellwether, ongoing bellwether. Oh,
for sure. And it will be for a long time.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe probably. Forever.
I mean, we are of the belief, and I'm pretty sure I can say we, not just I, but we believe that other coins other than Bitcoin will succeed.
I'm hoping, yeah.
Well, that's what we're betting on too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what's a black swan event?
Basically, a black swan event, also known as a black swan currency, is a metaphor for an unexpected event that has a significant impact.
Terra Luna was a black swan event.
Keep going back to it, but yeah.
Celsius was a black swan event.
That well is not dry yet.
Well, here's what's interesting. So it's a black swan event.
Yeah.
If you didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
But did they see it coming?
Who?
Celsius? Terra Luna?
The people that were run involved? It? Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, makes you wonder.
I mean, you'll see if it comes out that they sold all their stakes before it actually dropped or what. So they saw the writing on the wall.
Black Swan event should not be confused with Chris Voss's group, which is the Negotiator.
Why is that?
Because he has the Black Swan group.
Oh,
that's what
really?
He calls his firm that does consulting on negotiation. He has a master class and he has a book called Never Split the Difference.
Oh, okay.
It's a great negotiation book.
Oh, interesting.
It's really awesome. And then the next one, bridges.
Yeah.
Bridges are a blockchain bridge allows seamless transfer of data or tokens between two different blockchain projects.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Like, I mean, I love the idea of bridges.
Yeah.
Because it would be nice if different blockchains would work with one another.
Yeah. It maximizes the potential of adoption for sure.
Yeah. It's just that simple.
Yep.
BTFD is pretty current right now.
Yeah.
Or BTD if you want. Buy the dip if you are, you know, if you don't like cussing. But BTFD is buy the fucking dip.
Yep.
You know, I know that I bought the fucking dip right now.
Yeah.
There's some coins right now. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's so low.
Yeah, it's the clearance sale.
If
on sale now.
If you're cautiously optimistic.
Yep.
Now's the time. I see it as a sale. I feel like everything's on sale.
Yeah.
I feel like everything's going out of business type sale. But there's places that have been in business for over a decade that are called going out of business. If you ever go to New York, you'll see that. It's fucking hilarious.
Going out of business.
They have signs for the past 10 years that say in front of the building, going out of business.
Yeah, I mean,
they're still in business.
Liquidation warehouses as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what BTD or BTFD.
Yeah.
It just depends on if you want to use the expletive.
Expletive.
If you want to cuss, basically. Yeah. Candlesticks.
Candlesticks.
What's a candlestick? And in today's market, tell us about candlesticks.
Well, candlestick is a certain type of candle that they...
Why did I know you were going to say something cheesy like that?
The candlestick is referred to a type of graph. So, like, you usually have your line graph that either shows a red or green going up and down, and you'll see that in like Robin Hood and a couple others where they use line graphs. But if you've used other, what are those called? Other trading platforms, other apps, I don't know, like Binance US or KuCoin.
Okay.
You'll see these large red or green blocks, sometimes tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And those are candlesticks.
Yeah.
And so what a candlestick indicates is over that specified period of time where the majority of the buying and selling has happened.
Gotcha.
So if it's buying, it's green, more people have bought than sold. And if it's red, more people have sold than bought. So the tiny little piece on there, which you call the wick, is either indicates the most somebody paid for one purchase, and then the other part is like the average.
Okay.
And then the red candlestick, which we don't like, but it shows the lowest that somebody has paid for something.
Yeah, because it's saying, even in the definition that we found, each candle provides 4 points of information: the opening price, closing price, the high, and the low, just like you described.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's candlestick or candles.
Yeah.
Either one. So now let's move on to centralized.
We like those green candles.
Yeah, we do like green candles.
Anyways, centralized.
Centralized.
A centralized organizational structure is one which a single node or small number of them are in control of an entire network.
Yeah. So, yeah. And there's a lot of debate right now because there's specific definitions behind certain words, but then there's different uses of it in actual commerce. Yeah. You know, it's, I think I've used this same analogy before. It's like the DMV driving handbook. You know, when you take the test of the DMV to get your driver's license or renew it or whatever, the written test, the questions on there have to correlate to the book, but they don't necessarily play out in reality that same way.
Yeah.
And in this particular case,
especially here in California, when you're at a red stop sign.
Oh my God. Well, they do the roll stop. I mean, and then there's times like if you've lived in an area that didn't have a stop sign there, and then all of a sudden they put up a stop sign, you're like, No. I lived here before that stop sign was installed.
That's true.
Therefore, it does not apply to me.
That's true.
Horrible point of view. But centralized,
yeah.
A lot of people that I've spoken with, you know, they think Web3 is inherently decentralized.
Yeah.
And it's not. And they think that all crypto is decentralized because it's part of the rhetoric.
It
was born from being decentralized. But there are a lot of projects. If, in my opinion, there's going to be more centralization of projects than there is going to be decentralization.
Yeah.
Because decentralized projects, true decentralized projects, it's the business model for it has to be done in a separate way almost. You know what I mean? One of the coolest things about Bitcoin is that Satoshi Nakamoto, whether it's a group or person, it was built. Bitcoin was built, and they pieced out for all we know. Or we don't know who or what group they are, but here's the thing. There's no CEO of that. There's no, and I've heard other people like Michael Saylor talk about this, Darren Feinstein, I think, said stuff about this. I mean, I'm not the only one who's said anything like that, but there's no group controlling.
Mm-hmm.
The way Bitcoin rolls, you know what I mean? And so it is truly decentralized in that way. Whereas most projects are centralized. They can say it's decentralized in a lot of ways, but it's hard. I mean, and it's getting more hard, in my opinion, because...
Well, I mean, you've got Bitcoin, you've got Ethereum, Ravencoin, true decentralization. Well, like most...
Is Ethereum truly decentralized?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah.
They keep building, and I don't know. It's a weird... I know by all accounts it is decentralized.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
I mean, they have the DAO that runs them.
I get it, but I don't know. It's...
No?
I don't know. I struggle with it a little bit. Because here's the thing. I like certain centralized projects, and I'll give you one that has nothing to do with crypto yet.
Yeah.
Apple. Yeah. Apple is centralized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Windows was an open operating system,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't decentralized.
No.
But it was open. But the one thing I do like about the centralized project of, let's say, Apple, is that they have good quality control in comparison to the open environment.
Yeah.
I believe both need to exist. I believe that there's going to be some incredible centralized blockchain projects, you know, that are built with the technology that was helped to bring crypto about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily... Decentralized is a different project to build with because you don't really know how decentralized it is until the shit hits the fan. You know what I mean? Some of these DeFi protocols, the shit's hitting the fan.
Yeah.
Were they truly a decentralized finance product?
Absolutely not.
No. So no,
they just worked with a few decentralized products.
So that's why, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement. There's a lot of room for debate. But at the end of the day, screw the debate. It's a waste of energy.
Well, I mean, it was like when we were talking on the Ethereum episode about dApps. And I was like, what it stands for is decentralized applications. But a lot of the applications aren't decentralized. It's just an application built on a decentralized platform.
Yeah.
Like Ethereum. So you have people thinking about, like, yeah, there's like a black swan event that people are theorizing could happen once Ethereum does go 2.0 and becomes proof of stake, which would be that corporation, specifically Apple or Amazon, a couple of them, could build enough wealth and...
You mean kind of like what's happening with Solana right now?
Starting enough nodes to take over 51% of the mining, which would then make it centralized because they could change the voting rights in their favor for any number of reasons. So
yeah, well, I mean, Solana's going through that as of this recording right now.
Oh, wow.
Where there is a whale and they're trying to create a way so that whale does not enact that very rule.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So yeah. and they're again, it's not proof of work, it's proof of stake.
Yeah,
so it's an interesting...
Yeah,
there's some incredible growing pains right now in crypto that haven't been realized as much as the previous 10 years, simply because there's more adoption happening. There's more Absolutely. Eyeballs on it right now. There's people out for the lottery ticket. It doesn't matter.
Trying to hit that moving target, you know?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyways, in the world of centralized, to wrap up that particular definition, it means that there is a controlling
body.
Body or
person.
Person to that. Yeah. Coupling.
Yeah.
It's been used a lot. Used it this morning and I was like, oh, you know what? We should add this. What is coupling?
Coupling, well, I mean, in terms of crypto, not my snarky, sarcastic ones.
Which ones? Give me one snarky, sarcastic one.
Coupling? Well, I mean, we're coupling right now to create this podcast.
You know, yeah, we are.
You know, let's get on our deep voices. Here we go.
Hey, man, I have no problem. When we roll up to a restaurant and they go, are you two together? And I'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife about this podcast and specifically, I was like, have you listened? She's like, I can't listen to you. And I was like, why? And she's like, I just find your voice so soothing that I would probably fall asleep.
Oh, it was kind of a positive.
It was. Okay. I was like, oh,
okay. I was waiting for that when I heard, I can't listen to you.
Yeah.
I was like, which way is this going?
She was like, optimistic. Your voice is just so appealing to me. And I was like,
Well, she is your wife.
Yeah.
You know, she said I do, so clearly she likes something about the the Don Don.
And I was like, Neil's got more of the Barry White voice in this podcast. So, but anyway, coupling.
Barry White.
Hey.
He had the sexy voice. He wasn't as attractive as his voice made him sound, but damn, I do love the man's music for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I wish I would have got to meet him and spend some time with him. But anyways, coupling.
Yeah, so coupling in terms of... The way I've heard it is basically it's a pairing of two items. But in terms of crypto, it's a lot of people are talking about how Bitcoin was a good hedge against, was like digital gold because it was a good hedge against the market when the market was crashing last time. I think the COVID crash and maybe the crash, like the last downturn as well. But as we've seen from the Ukraine-Russia conflict to today, they're both going down at a steady pace.
Yeah. We don't know why. It's tied to the market, finally, like the stock market.
Yeah.
The coupling of crypto market and the stock market as an example. I don't know why.
I think it's just people are liquidating both directions, but I think that, you know, they're liquidating the cash and then putting into something like gold to hedge against inflation, like gold. But I'm not sure. I'm not a I'm
have
not
you ever actually
CPA.
Tried to sell gold?
CFA, you know,
selling gold is not that easy.
No,
I'm, you know, I'd love to, you know, talk with others who actually own it and have had to sell it before. Yeah. You know, I'd love to learn more about that, educate myself on it, because right now with just the finite information experience I have with real gold, I don't see the value the same way at all. Like the realistic, I get the concept of it, but it doesn't seem to play out in reality. Similar to the damn DMV test, man. I'm telling you. There are two different rules. There's reality, and then there's what they want you to believe is reality.
Yeah, so uncoupling reality.
Oh, perfect. We're just a couple crypto bros.
Bro, I know, bro.
We hear it a lot.
Bruh.
Not just us, but just in general.
Bruh.
I think it's as simple as... You know, there's a nice way of crypto bros. It's just like two of us who are enthusiastically talking about crypto because we believe in it.
Yeah.
Then there's crypto bros that have more of a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Which is because they're condescending or pretentious because they know more than others, per se.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is tied to the fact that, again, there's predominantly men involved and at leading a lot of the media in crypto as opposed to women.
Bro, do you even Bitcoin? You know what I mean?
Bro, do you Bitcoin? Got Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of times it's used in a negative way, and I can understand why.
Yeah.
Like Bernie Bros, back when, you know, Bernie Sanders was running. There's just all types of bros.
We love labeling shit as humans.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how we get around. And
label. Yeah. Well, it, what sucks. There's kind of two sides to it. Sometimes the stereotypes help you get to know people better, but because it doesn't always have to be negative.
Yeah.
Stereotypes don't necessarily have to be negative.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they do come across as negative.
Yeah.
As people want to focus on, like, oh, if they do this, it's mostly a negative stereotype.
Yeah.
Can't be just, you know, if they're chubby, they're happy. You
Bro.
Know, that would be the coolest stereotype. But then again, you know, people would probably be upset even with that stereotype.
Yeah. Well, I mean... I'm kind of living proof that fat is happy. You know what I mean?
You are. You always smiling.
Yeah.
But maybe you're hiding something deep dark.
Oh, everybody is. But yeah.
We all are.
What's that?
Without going too much. That's a crypto bro, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But we hope that we are not too... We're on more on the positive side of it, of that equation, if people refer to us that way.
Yeah.
So, crypto dust.
Yeah.
So, crypto dust is basically the low balances of crypto in your portfolio.
Yeah.
And Binance just dropped a product yesterday that allows you to take all of your crypto dust and purchase BNB for it within a few taps.
They had that on Binance regular. Regular Binance non-US.
Okay.
And it was
Should specify Binance.US, you're right.
My favorite feature. KuCoin allows you to buy KNC with it or their
KYC?
No. Not know your customer.
I know. Don't ask. All right. I realize the brain fart.
KCS. That's their coin. So they allow you to do that.
Yeah.
And I've just always found that it was the...
Well, you were a big fan of Acorns, weren't you? Did you used to use Acorns?
Yeah, I still use it.
Oh, you still use it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Acorns is similar in that way, in that it just rounds up your change and puts it towards any type of stock that you want within Acorns.
Well, I mean, because like the trading frenzy that happened in 2020, all that money coming in, I've got.
Oh, I got so much random shit.
So much, just so much crypto dust. You know what I mean?
But that's what crypto dust is.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got 0.00055 of ICX, 0.227 Vitho, 0.0457 XLM.
So you could just roll that up.
Oh, yeah.
Just boop, boop, boop.
Oh, I'm going to do that right after this podcast.
There you go.
I was waiting for them to implement that feature, too.
Wait no longer, sir. It is now available to you.
I'm elated.
I can see that. And for those of you who can't see that because you're listening to this podcast, he doesn't look that elated. He just smiled.
Yeah.
All right. Crypto jacking. What's crypto jacking?
When someone steals your stuff.
Or they install malware.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They can earn money from mining without having to buy the equipment is what it says.
Interesting.
Paying for electricity and keep running. They may be able to use your computer to mine cryptos without you realizing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, that's what crypto jacking is.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, just like don't get Seth Green'd, you know?
Oh, poor Seth Green.
Yeah.
He paid to get it back, didn't he?
Yep. He got it back from that it was an Australian dentist or something. He was like, I'm not going to give it back to you. You know? So, but the strange thing is that if you look at the time from when it left his wallet to the time that it went into that dentist wallet was like point whatever seconds. So
damn.
So, I mean, somebody must have been out there like, hey, I can get this one. How much you pay me for it? I don't know. That's all speculation. I'm just throwing that out there. But I thought that was very interesting and funny.
Well, you probably heard of it because you might have had cryptosis.
Cryptosis?
Cryptosis is when someone's bitten by the crypto bug. And they just consume nonstop information about crypto. I know a lot of people that's afflicted by this.
Cryptosis.
I mean, when I first learned about crypto, I actually didn't do a whole bunch of it. In 2014 was when I actively started participating, but I really didn't get that into it until 2019. And then once the pandemic happened, it seemed like I had more time. So I did. So that is what it is, basically. It's simple as that. Cryptosis is a way of labeling when you're super into it and you're just studying and looking, do your own research all day.
Cryptosis.
So what's a custodial wallet?
Custodial cryptocurrency businesses are ones that are in possession of their customers' funds for the duration of the use of their service.
Or they have their private keys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then they bundle it. Like a lot of exchanges are custodial because it just lives on that exchange.
Yeah. There's been a big movement of people in crypto that are like, move it off a custodian and put it in a non-custodial wallet where you own your, private keys.
Binance is centralized and, you know, a lot of people are, you know, decentralized mindset in cryptocurrency. So they'll get their own ledger and make sure that they have their actual private keys, public keys, and are able to, like, hold on to it.
Because let's say they decide to freeze access to your crypto.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Coinbase, in one of their investor calls. It was discovered that they have these fail safes or precautions in place, but it also illustrated that in the event of something cataclysmic, you discovered that they could take your shit.
Yeah.
And so that's when, I mean, it's the highly unlikely event.
Yeah.
But life does some unlikely things. And so that's why, you know, it got talked about a lot. And then Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase, has made a number of statements. I mean, he's definitely been in front of the media a lot lately for having to put out fires.
Yeah.
Because everything from that component about custodial, non-custodial, and then everything with employment, especially at Coinbase. Coinbase has seemed to be made an example of.
Yeah.
Whereas others haven't gotten the same amount of heat, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it's only because they're kind of king of the post pile right now.
Yeah.
I think it's a little unfair, but that's kind of, I mean, if you're in media.
Yeah.
You want clickbait. You want those capture, you know, headlines. And they've just been in front of most of it. But everybody seems to be experiencing a lot of the same issues that they have.
Yeah.
But going back to custodial wallet, you don't have your private keys.
No.
They do.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Banks are going to start doing custodial wallets.
Really?
Yeah, for
crypto?
For crypto.
I wonder which ones.
Oh, let's talk about the dead cat bounce now.
Yeah.
There you go. Tell us about the dead cat bounce.
Dead cat bounce is an anomaly that happens after a large drop off. They call it dead cat bounce when it's like, or like falling on knives. When you buy in as it's like dipping very, very hard, trying to hit that dead cat bounce. So what will usually happen is the price will fall so much that it stabilizes. And at some point, people see that as a buying opportunity. So for a short period of time, the price will jump like pretty good compared to what it was.
Luna did.
Yeah.
We were having a conversation on a Friday night.
Yeah. And then it'll immediately drop after that.
And if you would have bought Friday night and hung on till Saturday, you would have made some money.
60K what?
Off of how much?
Like 4 or 5.
Yeah. You see? Yeah. So, and then it went boom again.
Done.
But the dead cat bounce, that phrase, how it came to be, or at least what I've discovered after a little due diligence, was even a cat can bounce if you drop it from far enough.
High enough,
high enough. But yeah, it's a temporary recovery in prices after a prolonged decrease in price.
Yeah.
That's the quickest way to it, but yeah.
I think it came from the longest, from what I heard, the highest falling person to ever survive from a skydive.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, where their parachute malfunctioned, but I'm not sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, let's move on to something more positive.
Yeah.
Like diamond hands.
Diamond hands.
A crypto buyer with diamond hands is determined to hold on to their crypto for dear life.
Yeah. Also comes from the Wall Street Bet subreddit.
You love that Wall Street Bet subreddit.
Well, I just want to give them their due. You know what I mean?
Clearly, they're tastemakers.
Yeah.
You know, you have influencers, but they're tastemakers. Is it the same thing? No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't call them tastemakers. There's a lot of tasteless people on that subreddit, but
it's still a taste. It may not be good. Yeah. You taste it. I mean, here's the thing: shit tastes like shit, but it still tastes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The only reason I say that is, you know, there's a lot of degenerates on there, and they call themselves degenerates.
Are you a degenerate?
Sometimes.
But diamond hands, yeah. It's, you're holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I wouldn't say we're holding on for dear life. We're always going to hold.
Yeah. It came actually from the GameStop as well, which is funny. But like they would say that people that held on to the, throughout the super price increase or drop had diamond hands, and people that sold quickly had paper hands. So,
well, there you go.
We'll talk about that paper hands later.
We'll just revisit it. We'll keep it shorter since you mentioned it. But yeah. So difficulty.
Yeah.
Difficulty is the measure of how hard it is to validate a new block on the blockchain.
Yeah.
And in our particular case, difficulty mining Ethereum can be rough sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. It fluctuates. Currently, right now, I think it costs more than you actually get from... more in electricity depending on where you're at if you're just a home user. So a lot of home users have stopped mining in their off time, because a lot of people have gaming computers and then they'll just mine, you know, in their off time. Unless you have cheap electricity, it doesn't look like you're making any profit. So
and we
a lot of people chose not to. So
that
makes the difficulty go down. But when you see a large price increase, the difficulty shoots through the roof. Or when you have a halving event.
Yeah, yeah. Which is what happened with Ravencoin.
Twice as hard. So
that was January.
Yep.
And what's funny is we're almost back to what it was like before the halving, huh?
Yeah. Because they're not 28 cents a pop anymore. So.
Yeah. Moving on to dollar cost averaging.
Yeah.
Dollar cost averaging is the practice of investing a fixed amount on a regular basis, regardless of the share price. It's a good way to develop a disciplined investing habit, is what it says.
Yeah.
Dollar cost averaging. I like it.
Well, you can DCA into a position as well by just say you bought at the top of Bitcoin at 69 when it was kissing 70K. If you bought one then, you can dollar cost average again now by buying, let's say, 3, and then you'll have 4 at 70, 60, 130, whatever 4 is divided by 130.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So 25 a piece.
Yeah. But it's become...
Sorry, 30 a piece, basically.
It's become a tactic or a method, a model, if you will, of how to, you know, invest in a way that reduces risk.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And I guess that's one of the things, and I've mentioned on other podcasts, is that's what I like about mining. It feels like it's forced dollar cost averaging.
Yeah.
The way that we're doing it.
Yeah. So you get it all the time.
Yeah. What's a ERC-20? That's one I hear from people a lot who are just getting into it. They're like, I'm sending you my address.
Yeah.
And it says you can only send ERC-20 addresses.
Yeah.
You know, so they're curious, you know, what is ERC-20?
That is tokens designed and used solely on the Ethereum platform.
There you go.
So I think it's, yeah, the network specific.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, you'll see that sometimes regarding certain coins for sure. Like BNB has the Binance Smart Chain. They have BNB Classic. And I think they were built off of Ethereum, so they have an ERC-20 as well. So
cool. Yeah. And then next one's ETF. It's an exchange-traded fund. You know, it's a security that tracks a basket of assets such as stocks and bonds, and cryptocurrencies can be traded like a single stock.
Yeah.
So a lot more people have been getting to ETFs. I don't really know why.
I can tell you why.
Yeah, please, share.
Instead of, I mean, it just makes it really easy to basically spread your money out as if you would back in the day, a mutual fund.
Yeah.
It's basically just a modern mutual fund. So somebody else. And you can
do that based in crypto. So it's creating almost a crypto mutual fund.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, I mean, the reason why a lot of people get into them is because they're easy.
You don't have to really do lo-fi. You can ape into it.
Yeah, you can just ape into it. And a place like Acorn, or what was that other one that was just like a buck a month that was similar to Acorn?
I don't know
either. I forgot what it's called.
I only used Acorns for 3 months.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it personally, but.
Oh, I just have them round up, and then at the end of the year, I take it and I put it into something else.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
It's just like a forced savings account.
I get that.
Yeah.
All right.
Dollar cost average into an ETF, and then.
And you can ape while doing it.
Yeah.
There's so many things. That's why I love the jargon, you know, not just crypto, but all jargon and acronyms.
Well, I mean, ETFs, I think, are a large reason why, like, people are willing to get in the game, you know?
Because it reduces risk.
Yeah. You got large cap, small cap. You have all these different ETFs that, or S&P 500 trackers. Like, if you just want to track the S&P 500. It makes
sense. No, yeah. It makes sense, because then you can kind of pick something that's, you know, your safe. Volatility tolerant level.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you go get Thai, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want it spicy, or do you want it Thai spicy? You know, they give you all these options, but Thai spicy, man, that shit'll hurt.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
So that would be the most riskiest.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there'd be an ETF for that. There might, you just might be rolling the dice on a shit coin.
Yep.
That would be Thai spicy.
Thai super spicy.
So fiat peg crypto, what is that, Brandon?
Fiat peg crypto is any of your stable coins.
Okay.
Yeah, so now they have a stablecoin pegged to the pesos. They have a
pesos.
Pesos.
Peso.
The peso.
Peso. Yeah.
You said singular. Pesos. Yeah.
You would do it singular, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
tied to the peso, the Mexican peso. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's just any cryptocurrency that's pegged to a fiat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this show is produced by Wizard Cats and Vocal Visual. I'm your host, Neil Alonzo, with my co-host and co-founder of Fort Brox, Mr. Brandon Heath.
Brandon Don Heath.
This recording podcast studio is provided by ADU West Coast in Seal Beach. They turn underutilized garage space and backyards into rental housing units. You can find them at aduwestcoast.com. They're a great group of people.
Yeah.
Just ask for Cameron.
Yeah.
Cameron's awesome.
What's up, dude?
And it's Friday, so he's wearing casual Friday.
Cornhuskers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys. Oh, yeah, he played for them, didn't he?
Yeah.
There you go. The music at the beginning of this podcast and at the end of this podcast is by our good friend, Mr. Brad McLean, and the band he's with, The Celebrators. They came out with an EP, so check it out on Spotify, The Celebrators. So thank you again for listening to Fort Brox Crypto Podcast.
FortBrox.com. Thanks, guys.